All right. If we could find our seats, please, if we haven't yet. So good to be with you. We are in Psalm 107 this morning. Title is A Psalm Calling the Redeemed to Gather in Worship. That's what this psalm does. I just want to, before we dive into that, Bobby announced prayer at his house Wednesday morning. I just want to encourage us. Let's be there for that. I know that it doesn't work out for everybody's schedule. I know that some of you work earlier than that. Some of you, yeah, this, that, or the next. So no guilt. But if you're able, let's meet together. Let's pray together this Wednesday down at the Hamlet's house. Worship is the response of the redeemed. We sang the sermon already. The more we understand our redemption, the more we will worship. Redemption is the fuel of worship. It's what drives hands clapping, arms lifted high. It's what drives mouths open, singing loudly with joy. It's what drives grace-filled obedience. It drives serving. It drives giving. It drives all of the Christian life. Redemption does. See, worship is not three or four songs in a service. Worship is all of life, and I'm saying redemption drives that. Today is week 5 in our summer psalm series, and this series being the Psalms of Presence. This is a psalm of nearness found in his steadfast love, displayed in his redeeming of sinners to himself. Redemption shouts incredibly loud the nearness of the Lord because redemption provides that nearness. Before we read the Psalms, I want to give you a couple handles on how it flows. It's pretty simple. Verses 1 through 3 is a call to worship. It's the point of the entire psalm. You get it right there in those three verses. It is the call of the redeemed to come to gather to worship. The rest of the psalm is wrapped up in this one driving purpose. The redeemed, come worship. That's verses 1 through 3. Verses 4 through 42, so the bulk share of the psalm, are these four grace-filled pictures. All right, you're going to get four vignettes, and we're just going to fly over these pretty fast. There's a lot of detail there that we could cover, but we don't have time to do so. So we're going to take a bird's-eye view and just get the idea. What are these four grace-filled pictures communicating? And then lastly, we'll cover the response of the redeemed, and that's verse 43. And it's here that the psalm calls us to consider, to attend to these things, he says, to consider the grace-filled pictures that we'll read about here in a moment, and consider our own grace-filled picture as well, I would say. So if you would you stand with me? We're going to read the text this morning, the first three verses for right now. It says this: Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. So pray with me. Lord, we turn to you right now. Many of us crawl into those first three verses. We are the redeemed, Lord. We recognize that you are calling, you are gathering the redeemed together in these few verses, and you're calling us to worship you. Lord God, we just want to proclaim, we just want to, from the outset of this sermon, proclaim, Lord, you are worthy of that worship. You, Lord, are the redeemer. We are the redeemed. Lord God. So we turn our gaze and our attention, our focus. It's all on you. Lord, help us to turn away from ourselves, from selfish thinking, from thoughts about us in this text, but help us to look at your glory and all that you've accomplished, and help us, Lord, grow our hearts this morning to worship you rightly. Lord, lay us low before you. Help us to see, Lord, you are more worthy than we ever even imagined. Lord God, call us to worship today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So that's where we begin. It's the redeemed call to worship. And I want us to notice a couple things here in the text. The call is rooted in God's activity, right? It's in God's activity. It is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. He's the redeemer in the text. Give thanks to the Lord. His activity, not ours, is what's worthy of praise. Give thanks to the Lord. His activity is on display. And we should note that when we gather to worship, it's never based on our activity. We gather to worship simply and solely based on the activity of the Lord. His activity in our lives is the reason we're here, not our activity. And so literally every week when we gather, every week at 10 o'clock when the service starts and the worship team begins to play, note it, we're here because of God and his activity in our lives. Now our tendency is to somehow try to sneak something of our own activity into worship. And it looks something like this. We think if we had a good week, we think if things have gone well, perhaps if we've grown in the Lord, we're in a season where we feel like, you know, we're finally making some way here. We begin to think that, you know, there's no family arguments this week. I didn't get angry at the guy who cut me off in traffic. Like, there's growth going on. We can start to think in a certain way. It's been a good week. I'm making progress. I have a right to stand before the Lord. On the other end of the spectrum, my week was bad. My sin was pronounced. I blew it on so many fronts. I can't lift my hands in worship or sing to the Lord. If I did, I'd be a hypocrite. I have no right to stand before the Lord in worship. I'm not even sure why I'm here. Hear me. Both of these are equally wrong. They are equally gospel wrong. They are equally grace wrong. Self-righteousness and pride drives the one and misses the gospel. Guilt and shame drives the other and misses the gospel. Neither of them have Christ in view. Both of them come to the worship moment with self rather than Christ at the center. Now let's admit, it's easy for us to say, we're a God-centered church. But we must ask ourselves, are we? It's easier to say and it's easier to pretend the right things about God-centeredness than it is to functionally and actually be God-centered. I know the right things to say. And so this call to worship here in the psalm, though it went out to the Old Testament followers of God, nonetheless, this psalm was not just for them. It's literally for us as a body today. Psalm 107. It's for the follower of Christ today. It is just as much for us today as it was for them then. Just as much. The psalm is simple. It's come and worship God for his redemption, which is on display in his steadfast love towards us. The psalm shows us that redemption leads us somewhere. It literally takes us by the hand and it walks us someplace. And that place is the gathered worshipers of God. We gather because of this steadfast, redemptive love. That's verses 1 through 3. Well, secondly, are these four grace-filled pictures of redemption, which is verses 4 through 42. And the way the psalm unpacks The call to worship, verses 1 through 3, is by giving us four redemptive pictures. It is this east to west, north to south, all corners of the earth, come, gather, and worship the Redeemer. The pictures will, you'll see, expose us and reveal him. We will be laid bare, he will be revealed. We will be exposed as the sinners that we are, he will be revealed as the steadfast, loving Redeemer that he is. So I want to invite us, as we read these scriptures, these different pictures, crawl into the pictures and be freshly undone by his steadfast love towards you and I. Now, the four pictures of redeeming grace carry this rhythm. Each of the four pictures carry this rhythm: distress, desperate cry, deliverance, delight. And we'll see that in each of the four. The first one is the wanderer and the hungry. It's verses 4 through 9. Let's read verse 4. Some wandered in deserts, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. So there's the wanderer. Note this, that the wanderer, it's the people of God here. It's the people of God who are in distress. This is the Old Testament. This is post, we've been in Egypt, we've been slaves in Egypt. God called, he raised up a deliverer in Moses. We've been delivered. We're in the wilderness. We're wanderers. This is people that we might think, maybe you should know better. This is post Passover. Remember, this is apply the blood to the doorframe of your house, and those who did so, the Lord passed over judgment of them and delivered them and saved them and brought them out from slavery to bring them into freedom that they might be able to worship the Lord. This is the wanderer. It says in verse 6, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. So that's the distress. The distressed cry out in desperation. Verse 6, and he delivered, there's the delivery, them from their distress. He delivered them, and he does so by verse 7, he led them by a straight way till they reach a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. So do you see it? They're distressed people. They have a desperate cry. The Lord delivers them, and it ends in delight. Here, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul. He fills with good things. This is us, Trinity. I'm asking us, crawl into the text. I exhort each of us, if you belong to Christ, find yourself in the text. It's not flattering. This is not the wanderer who doesn't know God. This is the people of God, the ones who we might think shouldn't be wandering. We might read our Bibles and go, come on, Israel. God delivered you. Why are you drifting in the wilderness? Why are you not trusting the Lord there in the wilderness? And let me ask us, have you wandered? Have you ever wandered post-deliverance, post your deliverance from slavery to sin, come to Christ, applied the blood of Christ to the doorframe of your heart? Have you ever wandered post-deliverance, having been redeemed? Perhaps you're here this morning wandering. Believe that the Lord would have you to be here this morning, that you might go from the wanderer to that desperate cry to find the Lord your deliverer, to then delight in him in worship. Let the psalm do what it's intended to do. To the wanderer, to the hungry, what? Cry out to the Lord in distress. He has and he will deliver you. He will lead you, he says, quote, to the straight way. He will lead you to the straight way till you reach a city to dwell in. What does that call into mind to us new covenant believers. He will lead you to the eternal city. You will dwell with him forever. And so, would you read it with me? We're going to put it on the screen. Read verses 1 through 3 again. Oh, give thanks. Read it with me. Oh, give thanks. Read it with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. He's done that for you. If you are a follower of Christ, if you belong to him, he has redeemed you, wanderer. He has redeemed you, hungry. Yes, we become this Old Testament saint and we wander again post-deliverance. Oh, but he calls us back and he reminds us and he calls the wanderer to worship the Redeemer. Praise be to our God. To the imprisoned and the rebellious, that's the second crowd. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Distress. Verse 13, desperate cry. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Deliverance. He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Delight. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Praise be to our God. We go from the distress, the desperate cry, the deliverance, to the delight. Read it with me again, our text. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And so we move forward to the sinful and the discontent crowd, verses 17 through 22. It says, some were fools through their sinful ways. Have you been there? Have you been there? And because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Distress, desperate cry. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Deliverance, he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. What does that call? What does that recollect in our minds? Oh, Christ will come. The word will come and take on human flesh, and he will dwell among us. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Delight, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. That's what we want to do at Trinity. We want to tell of the deeds of the Lord with great joy. Because we were the distressed. Desperate cry. He delivered. And now we delight. So read it with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Well, the fourth grace-filled picture is these people who are storm-tossed. It's verses 23 through 42. It says this, some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Distress. Desperate cry. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Deliverance, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then delight. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Read it with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Praise be to our God. This last picture was a bit different than the previous three. In the previous three pictures, God brings deliverance to the guilty sinner, the guilty wanderer. They are in the mess that they're in because, picture one, they wandered. Picture two, they rebelled. Picture three, they were foolish. But here in picture four, it's a natural calamity. It's a storm that shakes them. And sometimes us. And it's here, in this fourth picture, that we're called to stand in awe of the one who speaks, right? It points us forward to Christ, who speaks to the wind and the waves and calms them. The wind and the waves obey him because the wind and the waves were created by him. And they obey the Creator's voice. They, these Old Testament storm people found in their storm, were powerless in the storm. Thus the desperate cry goes out, and the Lord, who rules over all, delivers his people. Praise be to our God. That is literally those verses, those four pictures, vignettes of grace-filled redemption. Crawl into them. Because if you're a follower of Christ, that's your testimony. Your testimony is distress, desperate cry, deliverance, delight. Every believer in the room. Well, then there's the response of the redeemed. It's verse 43. It says this, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Whoever is wise. I know we all kind of tend to think that we're wise. I'm pretty wise, pretty streetwise, right? Like, here's wisdom. Here's wisdom. Let them attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. What would be a wise thing for us to do today? It would be to attend to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. So consider, slow it down. It's literally what we ended singing. I'll wait for you. Let's slow it down. Let's rehearse these things. Let's consider these things. Consider, you, I were the wanderer. We were the hungry. The sinful imprisoned. The foolish. The Lord was in our sinful prison, foolishness, wandering, hungry state. The Lord was and is steadfast in his love towards us. It is the steadfast love of the Lord that gathers us, calls us, come together as a community and worship him. So I want to close by asking all of us to be wise and to attend. We'll do that by going back to verses 1 through 3. And let's consider one word there. It's the word redeemed. The redeemed are being called upon to consider, to attend. Consider what? Well, consider the four pictures of God's redemptive grace and crawl into those verses. Consider God's amazing, amazing faithfulness. That's how the psalm functions. It lives to call the redeemed to return and gather and worship our steadfast God. Redemption is a term that we ought to regularly go back and revisit. Now remember, when we're reading the psalms, plural, who are the psalms talking about? Who do they point to? Not a trick question. This is an adult Sunday school moment. I know we're all nervous. But Jesus is the answer. You can't go wrong with the answer Jesus in Sunday school. Okay? So yeah, they're pointing to Jesus. And sometimes I wonder, you know, if you're thinking, are you just kind of stretching that? When it says that, you know, these different things, is it really speaking of Jesus? This is Jesus' own words to his disciples. He's just risen from the grave. He's been having these amazing conversations with these guys in their unbelief. Here's what he says to them. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. For us to ever get anything right in the Psalms, we have to have our eye on Jesus, because he's the point. He's who the Psalms are pointing to every time. He's the point. Redemption, then, for a moment, let's talk about it. It's not a word that we use a whole lot in our culture today. It refers to being purchased, being brought into freedom out of captivity. We sang about it this morning. Maybe it caught your attention. But a price is paid to purchase the release of someone. It's a term that's used when negotiating the release of a hostage, or perhaps in a case of a kidnapping. In ancient culture, in Bible times, this might be a prisoner of war or a slave. Slaves were often debtors. It's not what we might think of when we think of the ugliness of American history, slavery. It was a different culture. It could be as simple as in ancient times, if I couldn't pay Mark, if I owed Mark money and I couldn't pay him, I would belong to him. I would become his slave. That was the commonness of what slavery was. Debtors became slaves in ancient times. If I couldn't pay Mark, I become Mark's slave because I've got no means to pay Mark. Until Richard comes along. And Richard says, I'll pay for Tim's debts. I'll pay Tim's debts. And he pays Mark, and I go free. It's redemption. That's what we're talking about when we come to the Bible. And it uses that word, redemption. That's the context. That's the culture that we're talking about. You see, what a slave would need is for someone who had the means. I don't got the means. I need somebody outside of me who's got the means to be able to pay Mark, because Mark's, man, he's a tough slave owner. And that's where Richard steps in and he redeems me. That's what we sing about weekly at Trinity. Let that sink in. He redeems me. I'm the debtor. I don't have the means. The one who pays the price, he's the redeemer. A similar word used in Scripture is the word ransom. It wasn't an accident that 1 week before Christ goes to Calvary's Hill, he says these words, Mark 10, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That theme is carried throughout Scripture. Could literally start in Genesis 3 and begin to track the scarlet thread that's weaved throughout all of Scripture. Christ is your Redeemer. We could go to Leviticus. We could look at sacrifices. We could go to the Psalms. We could go to the prophets. We could go to Isaiah. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the language of redemption. Jesus became the ransom. He himself became the price to bring freedom to you and I from the bondage of sin. We served a cruel taskmaster. Sin and death loomed over us. Christ's death became our life because he submitted himself and took our sins upon himself. He died because the wages of sin is death. He died. He took our sins and died. The innocent one that he was, is, died for our sins, thus paying the wages of sin, paying for our freedom. His blood was spilled. He was crucified that you and I might have life, might have new life, might find that today we are free in Christ. We were the distressed. We were the ones with the desperate cry. He delivered. Now there is delight. And the Redeemer, the steadfast love of the Lord, calls us together to worship him. You see, the point of the psalm through these pictures of redeeming grace is to help point us, the wanderer, the hungry, the foolish sinner, the imprisoned rebel, to see Christ came and he paid the price for your freedom, because I don't have the means to pay for my freedom. And neither do you. This foolish notion that we think, oh, I'll start to do some good things for the Lord to pay for our sin. Christ came to pay the price you could not afford, because you literally don't have the means. You and I don't have it in us. And so he sets us free from the prison of sin and death. And so we return week after week, and we gather the redeemed to worship the Lord, because he has been steadfast in his love towards you and I. We had no means to pay that debt. We are spiritually, morally broke. A third person stepped in. Christ Jesus paid our debt. So, church, verse 43, consider this together this morning. Consider your redemption and worship him. Consider how steadfast the steadfast love of the Lord has been towards you. Let us put aside all this foolish thinking that we worship based on what kind of week we had. I had a good week, I can worship him. I had a bad week, I don't think I can. Let's put that to rest. We don't come on our good week or our bad week based on our efforts. We come completely, entirely, 100% based on the work of Jesus Christ. He's the Redeemer. You didn't redeem yourself, so we don't worship ourselves. We worship the Lord. We don't come in our pride. We don't come in our shame. We come only based on the redemption we find in Jesus Christ. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. The call comes immediately in verses 1 through 3. It's the purpose statement for the entire psalm. He calls us not vaguely, he calls us specifically. It's in light of his steadfast love, meaning his resolute, meaning his unending, his unwavering, his without end, committed, unyielding, faithful love for our good and his glory. That's what he calls us based on. If the worship team would join me. There has never been a day, church, hear me, don't be distracted. There has never been a day, there's never been a breathing moment in our lives where the Lord was not steadfast in his love towards you and I. It's stunning. I'm not exaggerating. You have not taken a breath outside of his steadfast love towards you in this life. Not a Your faithfulness to him doesn't obligate him to steadfastly love you. Thank the Lord. He steadfastly loves you, not because you're faithful or because you're doing a good job. No, brothers and sisters, his love comes when you have been unfaithful towards him. That's the psalm. It comes in spite of our good works. That is why the call to worship is so compelling, so stunning. It's why redemption takes us by our hands and walks us to the throne of grace before our God. It comes to us in spite of our good works. Redemption, his work, his activity, not ours, walks us before the throne of God above. I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me. It's a broad call, church. It goes out to all the redeemed. I love how it starts. From the east to the west, from the north to the south. It's all corners of the earth. All the redeemed are being called to gather together in worship of the one who's worthy of such worship. It's a broad call. So let me ask us, are you redeemed? Have you been purchased by Christ's blood, his sacrifice? Then come and worship. Come and worship. Are you set free from sin's chains? Then come and worship. Have you been gathered up by Christ? Come and worship. Worship your faithful, steadfast, redeeming God. Friends, the psalm, it's not simply about some distant people that we're reading about and we think, you know, kind of can't relate to, don't really understand that wanderer prison imagery or this or that. No, this is written just as much for those Old Testament saints as it is for you and I sitting here this morning. We were the wanderer, we're now redeemed. Redeemed from sin slavery, wandering in the wilderness. What's wrong, Tim? Why aren't you trusting the Lord in that wilderness? He's the steadfast, loving God. The redeemed then, the redeemed today, needed and need this psalm to call us back, really, to what we already know. For most of you, I haven't said anything you don't know. But it reminds us, it calls us back, and it gives us fresh visions of worship of Him who is worthy. Let's stand together. Lord, we take just a moment now and we put lyrics to the psalm. We put songs to the truths of our redemption. And Lord, we pause for a moment. And together now we sing. Lord, we lift up our voices to You. We lift up our hands to You. We will likely clap before we're done. It's to You, Lord God. You're the Redeemer. And we celebrate, we delight, not in our activity, but entirely in Yours. All that You've accomplished on our behalf. Praise be to our God, our Redeemer. Let's worship Him.